Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Spencer Caron. On January 19th, 2021, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in BP PLC versus Mayor and City Council of Baltimore. The question before the court was whether 28 U.S. Code 1447 Section D permits a court of appeals to review any issue encompassed in a district court's order remanding a removed case to state court when the removing defendant premised removal in part on the federal officer removal statute or the civil rights removal statute. Philip Goldberg, special counsel for the Manufacturers Accountability Project and Washington, D.C. office managing partner at Shook, Hardy & Bacon, LLP, joins us today to discuss this case's oral argument.
Special counsel to the Manufacturers Accountability Project, which was started about 3 years ago under the National Association of Manufacturers, specifically for the purpose of discussing the problems with the climate litigation campaign that is going on in the courts and why these are issues really meant for policy issues that are federal and national in nature and not for courts to decide in sort of a case-by-case ad hoc basis. With respect to the broader climate litigation, we believe that climate is a critical issue and that America's political and business leaders need to be working together on the innovations to help us source and use energy much more efficiently so that we can meaningfully deal with climate change. This litigation, by contrast, is a counterproductive distraction. As some of you may have seen, last week we released a poll showing that Americans view this litigation as quote-unquote unimportant, that it will not solve their climate concerns, and that this is not the way to pay for climate change impacts. They understand that dealing with the climate is not about casting blame, but is a shared responsibility, and we simply cannot sue our way out of climate change. We need to innovate meaningful solutions. And I will tell you, and as we shared with the Supreme Court in the amicus brief that we filed there with the National Association of Manufacturers, the good news is actually this path is already working. Manufacturers contribute 18% more to the value of the American economy over the past decade while reducing the carbon footprint of their products by 21%. So as you heard today, the argument before the court dealt with a much narrower procedural issue in this litigation dealing with the scope of review of remand orders involving the federal officer removal statute. Our hope and again, the purpose of our amicus brief in the court was to have the court view this in a broader context, much like this court did in 2011 when it decided AEP versus Connecticut. There, the court decided a discrete legal issue, displacement of federal tort claims, but it went on to talk about how the cases invoke federal issues that are better for Congress and the EPA to decide. And that's why soon after that, the Ninth Circuit dismissed its climate change suit, even though it was packaged differently. The Ninth Circuit said it would be incongruous to allow such litigation to be revived in another form. So that is what we're hoping the courts are going to do here, decide the legal issue, but provide their thoughts about this round of climate litigation. I thought the oral argument itself today was pretty straightforward and thoughtful on everyone's side. Several of the justices, including Justice Barrett, Justice Thomas and Chief Justice Robert raised the question of whether they should limit the any kind of ruling on this case to just the scope of review, or should they get to this broader question of whether the case belongs in federal or state court. I thought that was very interesting and poignant that at least three of them were directly asked that question. So that's clearly on their minds. Kavanaugh also tried to get each of the parties to discuss some of the practical aspects of why they want to be in state or federal court. And so that adds a fourth justice to at least the thinking about this case in broader terms. On the scope of review question, it seemed clear from all angles that the text is clearly on the side of the petitioners. From Breyer to Gorsuch to Kavanaugh, several of the across the political spectrum justices said that the text was I think it was Breyer said the linguistic argument was tough for the plaintiffs here. You had, again, Gorsuch and others saying that, and Kavanaugh saying that they thought the text was clear. In the end, Justice Barrett got into a colloquy with Vic Scheer on the on what he was saying was the pursuant to, with this somehow changed the plain meaning of the word order. But it seems clear that when the text says the order is reviewable, and they refer to the order in other parts of the statute the exact same way, and they refer to their meaning the entire order, that the entire order is what is reviewable here. That's the threshold question that several of the justices are looking at, and clearly indicated that was on the side of the petitioners. If they get past that, then they have to get to, so then what happens? If they agree that the text is what it is, then they seem to be trying to work through. How do we deal with parties that would excessively claim a federal officer removal statute just to get scope of review? And does that become an issue of jurisdiction, or does that become an issue of remedy? Kind of went back and forth on the secondary questions, assuming they get past the first one. I thought it was interesting that it was pointed out to Vic Scheer that he's on the opposite side of Justice Ginsburg on jurisdiction, both in the Omaha case, and as others know, he's also on the opposite side of Justice Ginsburg on climate change, as she wrote AEP versus Connecticut. Both were unanimous rulings and an important precedence that this litigation is in the face of. At the end of the day, we do believe these cases belong in federal court. They are not tied, the allegations in them are not tied to any specific local community, Baltimore or anywhere else, which is exactly why these cases are being filed in so many jurisdictions. This is clearly a national or federal issue. And it was actually interesting that when Mr. Scheer said that all of these other filings suggest that, that the federal courts should be overwhelmed is a reason not to grant review. And so this is yet one more example of how merely by filing cases, he's trying to overwhelm and game the litigation system by trying to get at least some court in some jurisdiction to allow these cases to go forward and be willing to regulate global emission standards through state tort law. The truth is, as the New York Judge Keenan in the New York case explained, these are emissions cases, and the litigation is trying to regulate behaviors and impacts far beyond their jurisdictions. And again, as our brief, our amicus brief explained, this is a purposeful effort by a litigation campaign to use the court to circumvent Congress and the EPA in order to drive a desired outcome on climate, when climate is something that needs to be dealt with, but needs to be dealt with at a much broader level, needs to consider, our national energy policy needs to consider climate impacts, needs to consider the affordability issue for families who and businesses who rely on energy every day, whether to heat their homes, turn on the electricity, power their factories, what have you. And if this litigation goes forward, those costs can be hundreds of thousands of dollars more expensive. And that's one that needs to be considered. Also, energy independence needs to be considered. These are all aspects of what goes into establishing federal energy policy, and that can't be done in court, and it can't be done in state court in particular because of the national scope of what's at stake here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.